puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's time for Abandoned Manitoba with Gordon Goldsborough.
Good morning,
Good
Nadia.
Good morning, Gordon. An odd Abandoned Manitoba this week.
Yes.
How so?
Well, listeners may remember that a few weeks ago, I referred to an old commercial airliner that sits on Main Street in the village of Garland. It's been converted into someone's summer cottage, and it made me think about other sort of odd-looking buildings. And I thought, I've seen quite a few of them, so let's maybe talk about that today. Now, I should say that beauty is in the eye of the beholder, right? And I'm going to list some of my stranger-looking residences that I've come across, but I want to assure listeners that there's no malevolence in what I'm going to say. So if I list a home that you happen to live in and you, well, please don't take offense. I don't mean it. I just think it's kind of fun sometimes to look at some of these buildings and go, what were they thinking?
So what makes a building odd looking in your view?
Well, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, so I guess oddness is in the eye of the beholder too. But to my mind, it's because the building is somehow visually eccentric. Sometimes it's because it was homemade and the person therefore didn't have the benefit of a professional eye, but these buildings are unmistakably individualistic. Often they're impractical sometimes, they're peculiar. Some people might even say they have character. I mean, that's a word that often has all kinds of connotations. They're buildings that really have a personality, a sense of humor maybe even, they're fun, they're irreverent. But I think context is also important, because if it's sitting beside a whole bunch of other buildings that look the same, well then, you can really pick that one out in particular as being unusual? No. But on the other hand, if there's a really strikingly different building from all of its neighbors, well, that one, of course, really does stand out. And I think an example to illustrate what I'm trying to get at is a house that stands at 325 Notre Dame Street. Oh, and by the way, the street part is critical because, of course, there's Notre Dame Avenue here on the west side of the Red River, but Notre Dame Street, it's on the east side in the St. Boniface area. Now, what this is a two-story brick duplex that was built in 1951 by two Belgian immigrants and their wives. To say this building was homemade, wow, it's a gross understatement. They dug the foundation, they mixed and poured the concrete, they worked on the bricks, they laid the bricks. The building is, well, bricks. That's really what it is. It has ornamental brick patterning. It has an arched doorway of bricks. Bricks literally dominate the building's facade. And well, there's even a fence in front of the building, and it's made of bricks. So it's really a dramatic statement about bricks. And the only thing I can think of is that they must have got some kind of deal on bricks. I have to confess, I'm not a fan. It looks like they kind of went a little bit overboard. So I think that's one example of beauty in the eye of the beholder, or lack thereof. Another type of house that I think really draws my eye is one that takes the expression, a man's house is his castle, to extremes.
Such as?
Well, we have the house that stands at 494 College Avenue here in Winnipeg, built in 1906. So it's actually quite an older house. And in fact, I think it's quite an attractive house. So this one, I think, really does work. But if anybody's ever seen it, they'll know what I mean when I say that it's sort of a house that's a man's castle, because a lot of people locally call it the castle. It has a turret. It has lancet sort of shaped windows. It really does look very castle-like. And it almost looks like it's auditioning for a fairy tale. Of course, a lot of the houses in fairy tales tend to have that sort of castle-like look. But there's other houses that have the same sort of thing going on. So another one that really stands out, because it's on a very major street, 593 Henderson Highway. A one-story building, steeply pitched gables, highly decorative windows and a door. Again, just some leaps out of a fairy tale somewhere. It's actually, again, I think quite an attractive looking building, but boy, does it stand out. It's bold, it's self-conscious, it's a little bit strange maybe too, but I think it's cohesive in its implementation. It works, so I think maybe they may have had some help building it. But then we have a house at 1900 Addis Avenue, which is actually just beyond the Perimeter Highway. It's in West St. Paul. And oh boy, it has parapets on each of the four corners. You know, the things you expect to see on a castle, like a real castle you might see in England. Windows, well, on the second floor, it has statues on either side, on the outside. It's covered in statues, and even on the grounds, it has a bunch of lions, big statues of lions. So they've really leaned into the castle theme. And, you know, I had to wonder when I first saw this, I wonder, did Martin Bergen have anything to do with its construction?
Why? Who's Martin Bergen?
Well, he is deceased, unfortunately. But in 1962, he founded a company called the Marlborough Development Corporation, and it built buildings around Winnipeg that, well, a lot of them seem to have sort of a castle vibe. For example, one of his larger buildings is downtown Winnipeg, just south of Broadway, called Fort Garry Place. There's actually three big towers all in a cluster. And I think anyone who's been by them will recognize, because you walk by the bottom four floors covered in statues and columns. Looks very, well, I have to say, to my eye again, it looks a little tacky. But hey, that's just my opinion. But there's another whole category that really does leave me cold, and that those are buildings that are clad in metal.
Such as?
Well, there's a house at 865 Wellington Crescent, which, you know, is a very Tony part of the city. That's where there's a lot of very classy looking houses. This particular one was built in 1954, but initially I think it looked rather like many of its neighbors. But then in 1989, it underwent a renovation, and woo, that's where it got transformed. They covered it in corrugated steel panels. You drive by and you really notice that one. And in fact, if you know that the architect of that renovation was a fellow named Ron Keenberg, well, it makes sense, because Mr. Keenberg is known for his very flamboyant, you know, sometimes sort of unconventional designs. So anybody who's ever attended the University of Manitoba, if you've been in the Wallace Building, that's one of his designs, and it too is a rather eye-catching building, and I would say not the ideal one for my taste anyway. So there's others, though. I mean, we have an unusual two-story infill residence. You know, infills where they put in a new building in amongst a bunch of older ones. It's at 708 Victor Street. Wow. I mean, infills tend to stand out from their neighbors anyway, because they often look new compared to the older designs. But this one really stands out because it's covered in metal, bright silver metal. But then, okay, let's talk about a building that is not just covered in metal, is actually made of metal. So if you're traveling Highway 15, just outside of Winnipeg, out near Dugald, about 3 miles east of Dugald, there's a house that was built inside a steel granary. They took one of those, you know, circular granaries you find all over Manitoba. They used to store grain. And about a dozen years ago, they turned it into their house. In fact, there's another granary right next door. It looks like maybe it's a garage or a workshop or something. They really riffed on the theme. And I had to imagine what the life of the carpenter must have been like. The poor guy, you know, no 90-degree angles anywhere in this building. So, wow. But I think the cake for me of strange-looking buildings might be the one that is called 62M. It's a 41-unit apartment block that looks like a flying saucer. And if you've ever driven the Disraeli Freeway, you know what I mean. It's on the south side of the freeway. It looks like they say there's a flying saucer hovering just above the roadway, and you can't help but see it. I actually had an opportunity to see inside it. A friend of mine lived there for a while, and so a few years ago I went in to visit, and all of the apartments in there are pie wedge shaped, which I have to think would make decorating a real challenge, because again, no 90-degree angles.
That UFO-shaped apartment block, I actually love it. Like, I love, because it's so striking. But yeah, what is it like inside? Is it livable?
Well
if it's pie-shaped, like, that seems less appealing.
It does. And it's very open and spacious. Yeah. So if you're okay with that, yeah, then I think it would be great. The one thing I did find odd, though, is the entrances are outside the apartments. Like, it's like almost living in a motel, you know, where you walk along and out sort of a walkway. So you go into a building, and that's where your mailbox and stuff is. Then you go up, and you walk outside again. So, you know, in the wintertime, that wouldn't be ideal. You know, I'm not a fan, I'm afraid. But
now, I notice your choices are all in or near Winnipeg.
You're right, yes, and I must confess that I couldn't have think immediately of many odd-looking houses beyond the perimeter highway, but I felt that I would be dishonest to our listeners if I didn't offer something that was a little unusual. So I offer you an historic house that once stood in Swan River. It's now at the Swan Valley Museum, just a little out of town. It once belonged to a photographer named Alexander Sovereign. He came to Manitoba in 1899, and he went up to that Swan River Valley area. He first lived at a tent town near present-day Minutonis. He later moved to Swan River, and that's where he worked as a photographer and a lot of other things until his death in 1942. Okay, so why am I picking his house then as an example? Well, because unlike the vast majority of houses in Manitoba that are square or rectangular or maybe even circular, Sovereign's house is eight-sided. And to make that even more unusual, it's a log building. So you think of a log cabin. Yeah, they're square, they're rectangular. Nope, Sovereign's is octagonal. And I guess that makes it not so bad for carpentry because everything then is either a 45-degree angle or a 90-degree angle. So it might look strange, but I've been inside. It actually looks quite conventional on the inside, but it's a little unusual. And so that's all I have for today. But I realize this is a very visual subject, and maybe I've left our listeners thinking, boy, would I have liked to have seen some of those. So for those people, I've put photos of all the buildings I've mentioned today on the Manitoba Historical Society website. Go to mhs.mb.ca/odd. And maybe you're thinking, oh, he's going to say that one, and I don't. Well, then I expect to hear from you. I want to hear about some of the unusual ones that you think are out there. Send them to me at Gordon, G-O-R-D-O-N, at mhs.mb.ca. And if I get a bunch, I will share them in a future conversation.
Definitely worth checking out the photos. So thanks for putting that together, Gordon. What's up for next week?
Well, you know, the history of beer brewing in Manitoba goes way back to the fur trade. Well, in fact, in 1694, beer was being made at York Factory up on Hudson Bay, and they used raw materials brought here from England, of course, as most of the trade goods were. We'll jump forward to 1845, and there was a brewery at Lower Fort Garry. And in fact, now it was able to use locally grown barley and hops to make the product. Well, by the time that brewery ceased operation in 1880, there were no fewer than 7 commercial breweries operating here in Winnipeg. Well, go out to Western Manitoba. Brewing began there around 1885. We're not entirely sure of the exact time, but this was just 3 years after the city of Brandon was founded. So next week, we're going to visit a building that dates from 1908 that is one of Brandon's oldest links with the brewing past.
See you next week. Thanks, Gordon.
Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.